Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
Ah, fantastic stuff. Do you know, I've just realized that one of the team that's actually on this latest podcast, which of course is an aid of a very important cause, which we'll find out more as the whole program proceeds, is indeed connected deeply to one of our former presenters at Southside Broadcasting back in the days when it was South Cleveland Hospital Radio and indeed Southside Broadcasting as well. His name was Paul Gosnay. And of course, we've got his niece, Lisa Gosnay, with us right now. How are you, Lisa?
I'm really good, thank you. Really, really good. Small world, eh?
Well, absolutely. Well, you say small world, but I know in the magical, wondrous world of Tony McDonough, these are the kind of connections that are obviously being put together. It's the strategy. It's like Sheffield Wednesday on their finest, basically, isn't it, Tony? Putting this whole package together. So you knew secretly. So I know Lisa Gosnay is obviously related to Paul Gosnay. So we'll connect that person in there. So great stuff.
Yes, yeah, like we used to be in about 1993 when everything worked at Sheffield Wednesday, yes.
Yeah, well, anyway, let's carry on. Let's start with this particular piece, because the words acute myeloid myeloma or plasma cell leukemia can be fairly traumatic for anybody just to actually pronounce them, let alone actually sort of deal with what they are. Tony, you went through this whole process. Just talk to us about what happened back in June 2021 when indeed you were diagnosed with terminal acute myeloid myeloma / plasma cell leukemia.
Yeah, if we'd have been having this conversation, say, a year ago, and you'd have mentioned those terms to me, and leukemia, etc., I'd have had a vague idea of what bone marrows were and leukemia was and the effects on people. And now I've become a sort of a sofa expert on the subject because I've read that much because of my own case. And my own prognosis and things like that. But when I was diagnosed, it was a total shock to me, totally out of the blue, something completely unexpected. I maybe expected to have cancer in my lifetime, but maybe when I was sort of 75 years old or something like that, not at 51 years old.
Yeah, very much so.
And especially to be given such a grim picture with it.
Yeah.
As
ever, and again, I know you of old, and I know that this is actually there. You have been fighting back and have done a whole range of other bits and pieces within that, because you also received a stem cell transplant at Ward 33 of the Freeman Hospital in Newcastle following chemotherapy. And it's been quite a journey, really, which I'm sure the movie is just waiting to be actually developed and the screenplay is already out there. I mean, you can have Bob Champion back in the day. I think probably maybe Tony and myself are the only people who can remember Bob Champion. He was a jockey who kind of went through a similar sort of process. But I think we can see all manner of magical things happening there. But again, Tony, just share with us. So we've also been joined by our New York correspondent extraordinaire, of course, who again, Tony, you put us together. And since then, New York Real Talk has been working tremendously.
Gone from strength to strength. Excellent.
Exactly. So, Tony, talk us through your own particular path, as I say, over the last year. And then, of course, we'll find out how Lisa Gosnay fits into the magic.
Yes, I'm turning into a sort of poor man's Lance Armstrong, I think, with the cycling. Yes, I suppose. But
Without the illegal drugs, let's say. The illegal drugs.
Yeah, well, I was offered the main drug either. I wasn't offered. It was an option, and they didn't choose the option of EPO eventually, but it was for a time an option for me. But yeah, it's the whole reason this has come about is because I've been introduced for the last year now and seen close up the expertise of the consultants, the nurses, the doctors, and also the ongoing treatments I have and the cost of that. And I just wanted to do something that firstly, highlighted the need for stem cell donorship, which is, again, going back to if we had a conversation a year ago, I had a vague idea what stem cell involved. But the last year has highlighted me how vital it is, how life-saving it is. And I want to try and highlight that. And also, in terms of funds, try and give a little bit back to Ward 33, which is is the ward that anybody in the Northeast with a blood disorder will probably end up on at some stage in the treatment.
Which, of course, brings us round to why on the 5th of June, that's Sunday the 5th of June, you're having a five hours cycling challenge at Middlesbrough Sports Village to actually raise funds for this. And funds are already being raised with respect to that. Lisa Gosler, can I bring you on board now? And Lisa, just share with us again how you're connected with this and how far can we go and so on.
Yeah, so my journey's slightly different to Tony's, but I have got a blood condition. I'm in remission now. I'm on the road to being cured. My condition's called aplastic anemia. It's quite a rare blood disorder. It presents very similar to blood cancer, but it's in fact bone marrow failure. I was initially diagnosed in 2011. I managed to get well for a period of time and relapsed a few years ago to the point where I actually needed a stem cell transplant. I ended up on Ward 33 up at Freeman for 5 months in between 2020 and 2021. I actually had to have two stem cell transplants. Unfortunately, my first one failed. So I benefited hugely from the charity work and the funds and everything that Bright Red do that are linked to Ward 33. And in amongst all that, when I started my transplant journey, I started a blog on Instagram, and that blog has found me connected to all sorts of different people who have had similar journeys to me, and Tony was one of them. And literally we found each other through I think Tony reached out to me on Instagram, and we live quite close together. We've been under the same hospitals, and yeah, so I obviously, because I've benefited from Bright Red and a lot of what they do up at Ward 33 on Freeman, they're absolutely amazing up there, absolutely amazing. A lot of the people on the ward are incredibly unwell, in life-threatening situations a lot of the time, spending months at times away from family, because it's the regional centre, so a lot of people are quite away from home as well. So they do all sorts of amazing things to make you stay much more comfortable. And so, yeah, when Tony asked me to get involved with this, I was like, absolutely, absolutely. I owe them forever and a day. Just, yeah.
And as we mentioned earlier, Lisa, the fact that actually your uncle is one of my former colleagues on Southside Broadcasting, it's by the by. So, you know, clearly it's there. You know, by the way, you'll be pleased to know, Tony, and you can pass this on, Lisa, as well, to Paul Gosley, that the broom cupboard remains the same. It's still sort of constant. I've got an update meeting in a couple of months' time, but it's still very much focusing on that. We're still putting that together, even though obviously we've migrated via Zoom to other things now, such as New York City. Pamela, welcome to this special midweek drive. A promotion in many ways for a fantastic event. We're always happy to support events, but especially ones that Tony McDonough have actually put together for the whole system. I mean, I've got to ask the question, Pamela, do you cycle?
You know, I'm kind of a mad cyclist. I think the first time I was on your show, Alex, I was recounting a story of seeing a bear. And it was actually, I was on said bicycle, more of a dirt bike, on this woolly trail because our house used to be a train station. And so I was on the train station. That's when I saw said bear. Now, that's not very exciting. So I can't really claim to be a cyclist. Like, I'm a master.
Listen, Pamela, I could just say that if people are worried, I'm fairly certain that bears will not be appearing at the Middlesbrough Sports Village June the 5th.
I'll tell you, I have two brothers and a sister who are mad cyclists. I mean, 100 miles a day, you know, they go out. In fact, I've just sent what Alex sent me about this event. I've just sent it over to my brother because he's always cycling for charities and very much into it. So I'm really excited. I can get the whole American contingent, you know, to not necessarily go there and cycle. Definitely.
I don't know. I'm sure if the population of America wants to migrate briefly to the Middlesbrough Sports Village, then the borough would actually cope with it. You know, it's a thought, yeah. You know, if you think big.
Let's crack America.
Exactly. I think personally, I would probably last, you know, a couple yards and then my bike would just
Pamela, that's a couple of yards more than I would do, and I've got to accommodate. So it's just an amazing thing, etc. Tony knows that I'm not really that good as far as two wheels are concerned. This is where Tony is very much the expert.
It has to be said, though, if even though it's a five-hour event, people can come down and cycle for sort of 5 minutes and then spend the rest of the time just sat around drinking tea. If that's what they want to do, that's fine.
This is the whole system, as you said. The only proviso is you're asking people to wear red. Well, I think we can say that because it is fundraising for Bright Red, so you should wear red. I might wear a tie, Tony. You know I'm more a sky blue person, so, you know, red is not really one of my favourites. It's too many negative connotations of other teams. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, I'm expecting to see a lot of Borough shirts on the day.
Well, that's why Rob Nichols has been given the line. If you're looking at this, I mean, it's interesting that we go through the breakdown here and you put this out one lap. A simple lap, what's 1,000 metres, basically ties in with the fact that there are 1,000 new cancer cases every year for boys in the UK. Two laps, a reminder that only 2% of the UK population are registered stem cell donors. Three laps, 3% of leukemia cases in the UK are caused by smoking. Don't do it. Don't even start. Just don't go there. And, of course, four laps, the notion that chronic lymphocytic leukemia affects over 4,000 people a year. There are lots more. I'm not going to go through the whole system at this stage. There are other things to actually work through this. But people can already start supporting. And already you've cracked the £1,000 mark. Yay! Which is about $2,000, really, I think, in terms of current system. So good news as far as that's concerned. People listening to this particular sort of special, I mean, it'll be the first sort of mini series, I think, of Just Wear Red podcast or whatever we'll talk about. Yeah, which we can sort of put together. So what can they actually do? I mean, they've heard your story, Tony. They've heard Lisa's story. We know it's an important cause. We know it's vital. I mean, we know we're in a cost of living crisis, but at the same time, this is something which you can't really put a price on, and it is important to help out and assist from that point of view. So, Tony.
It is, and I think, although like Lisa's diagnosis and my diagnosis are very different, the thing that brings us both together is that we're relying on a stem cell donor. And that's the event and hopefully ongoing things. It's more about raising awareness for that and for a simple procedure that's not invasive at all. You can save or change somebody's life. And it's part of those statistics over the laps is to try and highlight how common, sadly, blood cancer can be, but also how good the treatment can be, and also if becoming a stem cell donor, you can become a lifesaver.
And that's what we're all about, saving lives in all sorts of ways. And let's turn to Lisa. I mean, is this your debut as far as Southside's concerned, or did Paul ever invite you onto the show when he used to do a weekly slot with us?
No, he didn't. You know, to be fair, I've only really been vocal about anything like this since, even when I was first diagnosed in 2011, I didn't really, so we were talking about it the other day, I was talking about it the other day to Tony, I was very, very guarded about my diagnosis initially, and it's only these last few years when I relapsed in 2018 that I've been very open about what's going on and what the difference it's made to share my story has been absolutely fabulous. You know, the people I've met and, you know, the people I've actually helped to support as well. I've just had somebody message me this afternoon who's got a sibling in a very difficult situation at the moment. I haven't been on anything like this before. My uncle, I think he finished, stopped doing it before I was vocal enough to participate.
When you say finished, actually nobody ever finishes with Southside Broadcasting unless we choose to finish them. That's all I'm saying. You know, it's a very Pamela's taught me the sort of the New York mafioso sort of line of these things, that basically if you don't get asked those things, it's, you know, but other than that, you know, Paul is still very much with us. You know, it's important.
Yeah, well, I'll have to get him back on for, well, he can come on again.
Absolutely, absolutely. He'd co-commentate with me on the day itself, I would have thought. I'm just saying.
He might do. To be fair, he has been my journey. Like I say, when I was in Ward 33, what Tony's just been saying there about stem cell donation, we're in quite a rare, Tony and I are quite rare in terms of our diagnoses anyway, but unfortunately, my first transplant failed. which meant I had to spend quite a significant amount of time in Ward 33 and benefited from a lot of the things that Bright Red provide to make you stay more comfortable. And my second transplant followed that. So in terms of stem cell donation, I actually had donation. My stem cell transplant was from donors, because you can actually, there's different types of stem cell transplants. And I actually had two different donors. So two people had to register and join the stem cell registry too. And I am only here now because of those people donating their stem cells. I wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for them.
Well, this is excellent news and shows how we are all connected. And there is a positivity, and it's called Bright Red, presumably, Tony, because bright red is the colour of healthy Homo sapiens type blood, as opposed to green if you happen to be a Vulcan, or blue or purple or any other sort of aspects within that. Yeah. Just making clear.
Yeah, I'm up and I've got some blue blood from a Sheffield Wednesday links, but yeah.
There is that thought naturally. Pamela, any questions you'd like to say? Because I know you're keen, as am I, to obviously welcome both these fine folk on to a special segment of New York Real Talk. But over to you.
Yes, actually, I'm not sure if Alex knows this or not, but my father years ago had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And he was one of the first people to have a full bone marrow transplant in a hospital in Boston, Dana-Farber. And it was successful. And he beat that cancer. At the time, this was in the late 80s, the treatment was barbaric, just simply because it was so new. It was just so new. Chemo and radiation and so many, they just threw everything, all the guns at blazing. And I know, because unfortunately I have a few of my dearest friends that are ongoing treatments for cancer. The medicine has just come so far, science and medicine, to where now they're really pinpointing very specific things rather than just kind of throwing, you know, a complete chemo at you. They're really trying to, you know, pinpoint things. I wanted to ask the two of you in terms of, so when you were first cognizant of these sort of things at 17 or 18, until now with your own stories and experiences, how you feel that medicine and science and goodwill of people and their contributions have really come to help, you know, someone with absolutely no chance to light saving people's lives now. I'd like for both of you to speak to that. Maybe
Lisa go first.
Yeah.
Ladies first. Yeah.
So do you know, when I was a child, I was very, very, I was quite squeamish. I used to get really, I didn't like any, if anyone was poorly, I would, you know, back away. I didn't like it at all. My mum actually used to want to give blood and I wouldn't let her because she would be stabbed with a needle, which is, you know, considering I've had a lot of blood transfusions. So that's going back a lot of years. But even just before my diagnosis, I was diagnosed in my late 20s. And you know what? I thought I was invincible. I had absolutely zero sympathy for anybody that was unwell. I didn't think somebody talked to me once about, you know, you need life insurance. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm all right, you know. And then a few years later, I really, really wasn't all right. So in terms of realizing your own mortality, that's really quite sobering, really, to think, you know, you're in your late 20s, you think, you know, like Tony said earlier, it's not going, you know, maybe it's in my 70s, or maybe it won't happen to me now. So that's what one aspect that I've really really found quite an eye-opener, I guess. But also in terms of medical advances, in 2011, when I was first diagnosed, there was a girl in hospital with me at the time who had leukemia. She'd been in at the time for probably about 6 weeks, which to me was like, oh, 6 weeks, that's such a long time. Obviously, I've now been in for quite a considerable number of months longer than that. And she went on to have a transplant at the time because she was in real dire straits, and she's well now, but they wouldn't go near me with a stem cell transplant at the time because it was too risky, considered too risky. My age, I was nearly 30, that was going against me. I didn't have a sibling match, so stem cell transplants tend to be better if they're given from a close relative. My brother wasn't a match for me, unfortunately. And that was just 11 years ago that they didn't want to do stem cell transplant. And now, 10 years later, 11 years later, they're doing them much more routinely because of the advances in medical science and research, you know, and the types, like you say, the type of chemo they give. And my second transplant round, they actually gave me a reduced intensity chemotherapy regime because that better suited where I was at. And I'm sure in years gone by, that wouldn't have happened. So in terms of my body's ability to tolerate the treatment and everything, you know, being even just 10 years on from where I was, where I could have been, you know, it's been much more smooth running, if I can say that, for me, I think, given the time, the extra time between my diagnosis and my actual transplant.
Tony?
I think from my point of view, from what you said about the chemotherapy and how harsh it was, when I got my diagnosis and it was sort of, right, you're going on chemotherapy, that sort of scared me because the two people sadly I've lost, been up close to and lost through cancer, they didn't have chemotherapy because the cancer was too far advanced. I've never been up close to anybody with chemotherapy. So in my head, I had a sort of stereotypical image of frail person, going to lose all my hair, going to be laid on a bed, no use to anybody. But I had 7 months of chemotherapy, and it was only toward the seventh month was, I mean, I'd had enough by then, I'll be honest at that. But because it was a tablet and infusion course, it was quite, the side effects were quite sort of mild on my body. It was only when they gave me the really intense one ahead of the transplant that was the one that wiped me out and I lost my hair. But I could see from over the months, I could see how much obviously research had gone into this over the decades and decades and decades of just tweaking different medications, obviously, to make it tolerable for people. And so I think if people get diagnosed with something and get told they're on chemotherapy now, it's not the sort of debilitating thing that it maybe once was. You're able to live something of a okay day through it, and it's not the sort of frightening scenario it maybe once was. It is when they give you the more intense dose, then that is the that is the sort of side of it probably is a little bit more frightening. But for me, I only got the one intense dose of that ahead of the transplant, and then from seeing the advances of the transplant, maybe if I'd have got what I've got, I'm guessing 20 years ago, I'm guessing I wouldn't have survived. Maybe even 10 years ago, I might not have survived it's only because of the advancements. And like now, like Lisa says, it's almost like, it seems like almost a routine procedure that you just follow the same path. And it's fantastic that they've got to a place that they're doing that. But we certainly need to get the stem cell donorship up in the UK, and this is why we're trying to raise the awareness through things like this.
And I'd like to say, if you don't mind, because I know that the listeners cannot see everyone on the screen, but at least Antoni are so gorgeous, and they look so healthy and wonderful and incredible, and it's amazing. It is really amazing because, I mean, I remember all those years ago, my father could have never been able to do an interview like this as he was going through things. So I have so much hope. And
it's the balmy Middlesbrough sunshine that we bask in. That gives us this glorious glow.
Tony, you keep saying we have to keep this secret about the Riviera environments that we're actually based in. Otherwise, we'll suddenly have all of those New Yorkers who normally are floating down to Miami and Florida and other places, they'll be flying over to Teesside Airport, and we won't be able to cope, really. Appalling. I mean, it's often said that Juninho, Brazilian footballer, thought, I mean, he couldn't tell a difference between South Bank and, of course, the Maracanã. It's easy to put together, you know?
Yeah, we'll keep it our little Northeast secret for the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, sir. So let's go back to again, the event itself, which is taking place on the 5th of June. Obviously, month of May, you can start donating now, start actually making contributions for the actual system. And you can give now, obviously, using the Just Giving thing, the Bright Red page. Tony, how can people actually follow this? What are the socials? And find out more about if they are in the area or fancy coming up to the whole thing, actually taking part itself on the day between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. at Middlesbrough Sports Village.
Well, we'll obviously be able to follow a little bit via your good self and this podcast, and we'll be spreading the word far and wide about it. But in terms of donations, if people go to justgiving.com and just look up, put in the search bar Tony McDonagh, McDonagh, that'll bring the cycling challenge event up to the top of the page. Or they can go to on the Bright Red Facebook, just type in Bright Red in the search bar on Facebook, and then their news feed, that again the event will be linked in there, and it'll get featured on the brightred.org.uk website. But I'll be obviously active on my socials and on Instagram, and Lisa has a My Plan C Instagram page that I'm sure she'll be mentioning her involvement and things like that.
And of course, what better way when you're actually doing the socials than to actually listen to the music of Pamela Suman at PamelaSumanMusic.com. I'm just saying, you know, it's just a shameless sort of bridge that sort of comes out there.
We shall be playing some of Pamela's music on the day, yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's important. You know, it's worthwhile going through. So it's a good news outside.
Yeah, pink flamingos is the one need.
I was thinking that certainly that was a critical one in so many ways, really. Lisa, if you haven't heard Pink Flamingos as yet, frankly, you should, and dance like Pink Flamingos do. I'm just saying.
Right, I'll look that one up.
In fact, we might wrap up this little piece with, I was thinking Mungo Jerry and In the Summertime, but no, I think I'll probably go Pink Flamingos, Tony.
Oh, I think we have to go Pink Flamingos, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this song would not be out in the world if it weren't for Tony McDonagh. It's true.
Which could be a double-edged sword, Pamela, to be honest. I mean, there might be people who listen to it who don't sort of recognise the beauty of it. You know, it's like, it's Tony McDonagh we've got to thank for this. Thank you very much.
No one to find him.
There you go. Lisa Gosler, of course, and Tony McDonagh, huge thanks for joining us today. Again, a very worthy cause. It'll be one of probably about a mini series of three or so we'll hopefully put together before May, and then we'll obviously do an aftermath piece as well. It's almost like being on your bike once again, isn't it, Tony? But it's, not in the studio.
Just, yeah, rolling back the years, yes.
Well, there you go. So for now, many thanks, Pamela Suman, as ever, a delight. And we won't ask those last two questions, which we normally do, because we know you're going to come back, because that's what we are about, people returning and keeping on, yes. Keeping on. Take care.
Thank you for the coverage.
dance like pink flamingos do. And I will dance like me. And you will dance like you.